All right, today we'll continue our thought that maybe I'll go back to School of Bible Exegesis today, but then again, I just feel we should still continue what we were doing last time and the matter of prayer, praying against the matter of fear and all of that. There's something I want to remind us of, and let's start therefore from the book of James. The book of James chapter 3. He said, let not many of you become teachers, from verse 1, my brethren, knowing that as much as we shall incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. That is a sign or a source of perfection, is in what somebody says. He said, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Behold the sheep also. Though they are very great and are driven by strong winds, so they are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. That is, when he used the expression it boasts, now he wasn't talking about boast as a sin there or a bad thing it does. He was saying, talking about boast as in it has the ability to boast. It has something to boast about, that I have done this, I have done that. All right? That's what he meant when he said that he boasts of great things. That is, it's small, but it has accomplished a lot. All right? He said, behold, how great a fire, a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. Now, the point he's just making here is this. Verse 8 says, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Just talking about the importance of the tongue. He now said that, well, he said many things about it. Let me just stop there. I've read the thing I want to say, point out from there. There's something that you hear me say again and again, and that's the fact that life is not something, is not lived by the decision you make at the last moment. That is, it is not the time that you are put under pressure. You will say, I will eat the fruit, I will not eat the fruit. I will bow to the idol, or I will not bow. I will pray, or will not pray, so that I will either burn or not burn. It's not at that particular point in time. What happens really is that those things are the expressions of the things you have done before that. What I mean is this. He told Jesus, turn your stones to bread. And Jesus refused. That was not the first time he was facing that temptation. All right, that was the summary of all those temptations he had faced earlier. You are getting the point I'm making. Like I said to us, when the time Moses looked and he annoyed, he got angry and he said something and God got angry. You understand my point? We often look and say, why did he do that? He should have just refused now. Hey, just that one mistake. I've heard a man preach it before. He said it takes a very small thing for a Christian to go to hell. One mistake like this, you're in hellfire. I said, my friend, I don't believe that. Just leave that kind of joke. All right? You think we say God they drink. After you stop saying things that make it look as if God does not reason. You understand what I'm saying? As if it's a machine. If you press the wrong button, it will just explode. But God is not like that. All right? It's never just that one thing. The fact is that those one things are the summary of the many things that were happening before. So the time, in the case of Moses, I've discussed it before, why God killed Moses. I have an article I wrote on it, why God killed Moses. God did not kill Moses because he was angry with Moses, really. That was not the real thing. Because people have done worse things and God didn't kill them. You follow my point? Why did it, in that case, take Moses out? It was simply because once Moses began to make a slip, the Bible says beforehand that he was the meekest of all men on the surface of this earth. Once that man began to talk matters of pride, something tells you, you know, that something terrible is going on. Moses, his strength was depleted. If God didn't take him out that day, next time the guy will shoot somebody. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm being honest with you. If God didn't take him out that day, after a short while, the next calf, Aaron go build them. Now Moses go build them. And this is a fact, because by that time he will have been thoroughly worn out. So that single thing he did was a sign of his exhaustion. So God said, therefore, let me take this man out at this particular point in time. That just by the way, why did I tell that one again? Just to point out to us that it's not that one thing he did that was a problem. It's just that for a long time, and just by the way again, when not that Jethro came to visit him, he would not have lived that long. Jethro was the person that helped him live that long. Alright? If he had continued the way what he was doing, he would have little by little over time worn himself out, and he would have failed God earlier than he did. Don't ever forget that. The one we're talking about on radio the other time was the matter of Samson, for those of us who were here. Why did Samson just tell Delilah? Why now? He should have just refused. Oh God. Yeah. Just this small thing. And they cut the guy hair, imprisoned the guy, blind him, and that was the end of a great judge in Israel. It was not one thing. It was not one thing. It's all the women he has been seeing and the harlots he has been going into. That was where he was depositing his strength. Alright, so the Bible says, don't give your strength to women. That's what he did. He had given his strength to women so that by the time Delilah showed up, he had to fall for Delilah. If Samson had to live again, he would still fall for Delilah if he lived the same way again. He can't say that, Delilah, I know you now. Hey, Delilah, it isn't at the former time. I'm ready. Oh yeah, ask. I'm not telling you. Delilah will say, don't worry. Why should you tell me? You don't have to tell me. Then he woke up next morning, his head is off. What did happen? You were sleeping, your dream, you were talking. It was in your dream, you released everything. The only thing that could save Samson, if he had to live again, is to change his life before the time he met Delilah. Are you getting my point? Because what gave him over to Delilah was not the fact that he met Delilah. What gave him over was the life he lived before the day he met Delilah. You get my point? I'm emphasizing to us again so we understand it. That life is not lived that last moment. No. It's those little things over and over, all right, that we have been doing, we have been behaving one way or the other, that decides what we do at the last moment. Now, having said that, of course, I said this before, just for the way, that's why you train. There was a man, I read the story long ago. It was a, you know what they call a, in the military, they call them paratroopers, you know, they jump from planes, all right? He was also a jumper. So one day, he jumped. The first parachute did not open. The next one, you know, all the auxiliaries refused to open. And he hit the floor, you know, with no padding. Anyway, the story about it is that he survived. And he broke his bone in 200 and something places. Now, this is the interesting part I'm going to. They said the places where the bones crushed the most were those places where the paratroopers normally land with. That is, in the midst of the whole thing, as it was hitting the floor, he still, without thinking, he didn't even know. He still landed the way he had been trained for years to land. And possibly that's how come his life was saved. Now, he crushed his bones in certain crucial places, but three of them, which is the place they normally land with, even with the parachute. I'm bringing an issue here. That's the principle of training. You understand? You can't go to the bar to say, I can beat this guy. Say, they give you glove. I will beat him now. I'm used to him. When he gives you one on the head, you understand my point? You start seeing three of him. You understand? Now, for the trained man, even though he's seen three, you understand what I'm saying? His hands are still in the proper places and his reflexes are still responding as if he was seeing one. That's the principle of training. And what am I talking about today? We must train ourselves. What did I say? And this is how life is. You train yourself in everything. You train yourself how to study the word of God. You train yourself how to pray. You train yourself how to give. You train yourself how to receive. You train yourself how to walk. There's something that wrote to you, said, I repeated for my students yesterday. Alright? And I went to class. I saw some people, you know, they don't know anything in class, you understand? So I told them, sitting at the back. I said, you sit at the back. Do you know why you sit at the back? I said, the problem is this. Father Duruto, he said, anything you do continually, you become good at it. I said, why don't you start sitting in front? For adventure, you will learn. I don't want to go into that now, because there are two sides to it. You can condition yourself from outside. Yes, you can. You can condition yourself from outside that, listen, yes, those who are sitting in front, they learn. But just by the way, matter of fact, my best students in that class, two of them, they are always in front. This is the work. That's what is inside and what is outside. I said, just start sitting in front.
You know what you're telling your body? Philadelphia says, you're telling your body, I am the head and not the tail. You don't realize it, but that's what you're doing. So you're training yourself in being good. You are training yourself in being the first. You know, there's something we all do, very, very bad habit. If they say everybody come between 8 and 9, we all show up at 9. It's a training. You are training yourself in coming last. So Philadelphia said, if they say come between 8 and 9, I'm adding my own now. That was not the example he gave. All right? Go at 8. You know what you are doing? You are training yourself that I am the first and not the last. So everything you do in life, you must do what? Train yourself. And now, why did we read this portion, this book of James? Because the Bible was telling us that this is the one thing to train. This is one thing that controls the whole body. Are you getting my point? It is what? The tongue. That is, what your tongue says all the time is what your body ends up doing. Did you hear what I said? If you say, you know now, I'm always very tired at this time. This is a scientific fact. After a while, your body just starts getting tired. I was listening to one of his messages. Is it Kenneth Hagin? Any one of the preachers in the car. And he was reporting something. Was it Kenneth Hagin? Any one of the preachers anyway. He said that they found out that they did a study on people who were a particular age. You understand? Those who always says things like, I don't feel well, I feel fine and all of that. They found out that what determines whether somebody will live long was not what was wrong with him, but the impression he had of what was wrong with him. Are you getting my point? That the people that are sick, but kept on saying that, no worry, no problem, we're okay, God is good, life is good, who are very positive towards life, they found out they tended to live longer. No, they checked them, I think, after 5 or 10 years. Most of those who were negative about things were dead. The ones that were positive, they were still there. You're getting the point? Listen, very important. I said something earlier. That fear, I want to narrow it down. Everything I've said so far is just to emphasize the fact that we must what? Train ourselves. And number one way, one of the major ways, all right, and the one we're talking about today, by which we train ourselves is by training what? Our tongues. And how do you train your tongue? One of the things I found long ago, one of the principles of the spirit, that is, that controls life, is this. It's very difficult to train yourself negatively. Let me say what I'm saying. That is, it's difficult to tell yourself, don't do this. The one that is easy to do is to tell yourself, do this. Are you getting my point? And that's why God, when he gives a commandment, he does not just give negative commandments. He gives a positive thing to do in place of that. You say something like, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. It is not, don't walk in the flesh and you can go. It is what? Walk in the spirit. So anytime you see it, if the Bible gives a commandment like that, go and check it. There is something to do, real thing, tangible thing you can do. You are following what I'm saying? He always says, I'm going to think of a few other examples. He will say something like, don't fall from your own steadfastness. Peter was speaking. What's the next thing he said? But grow in grace. There must be a positive thing. God's commandments always have a positive, that is, something to do. The emphasis is never really on the don't do. It's always, what do I do in that place? He told Adam and Eve, I have given you what to eat. Don't eat this one. That is, be busy eating the other one. Then you will be able to ignore this. God won't put you in the garden, leave you hungry, and put fruits there and say, don't touch. Normally what he does is to tell you the one to do, so as to take you away from what not to do. So he said, walk in the spirit. If you go and search it where you find the positive and, real, tangible principles of walking in the spirit that can keep a man busy, so that he does not fulfill the desires of the flesh. What I'm trying to say, when it comes to the tongue also, it's not just about not saying things that are negative. No, you have to, this tongue must talk. You understand my point? That is why, like now, when you tell people, don't use swear words. I don't know how I learned this, but long ago, everybody must swear, you know what I mean? You must use a swear word. It's what you use as your swear word. That's not the issue. If you just say everything, oh shit! You say, I want to stop saying shit. I want to stop saying shit. You will continue. You can't stop it. What do? Find another expression. One of the ones I use a lot, if you are near me here. My God, Jesus is Lord. What was that? It was a conscious effort I made long ago to say everything. Hey, Jesus is Lord. My God, you know. Some people think that you are commonizing it. No, it's very better commonality. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that's one of the ways I express my shock. Jesus is Lord. No, I'm serious. So instead of saying I won't use swear words, forget. You got to swear. Amen. You know if I swear now. Yeah, something must come out when you are in shock. Somebody shout, "Mommy!" Yeah, you know they are children. They refuse to grow up. They are still there. You see an adult girl, you are talking to her. Hey, mommy! At this age. just joke. When I did university those days, you know, girls are very funny. You go girl, go female hostel. You see sister, they sleep, they hug teddy bear. I'm like, what is wrong with you? You know they grow for your village. Some of them are actually walking in front of the hostel, carry their teddy. You know, mommies are very funny. Did they take funny things do at Jebota? No, where's my teddy? Oh God, university student. Carry teddy. And they will hug the teddy like this. I just look, say, may you grow up in Jesus' name. Spirit of growth upon you. Let's lay hands. May she grow up. The Lord is good. What I'm trying to say is, just shout mommy. I mean, she'll have grown beyond that now. You understand my point? She'll have grown beyond that. Anyway, the point I mean, you have to shout something. So one of the things what I learned then was I remember very well making the conscious effort. If I had to explain, I said, Jesus is Lord. What was that? Jesus is Lord. It's, you know, let them hear it. Oh my Jesus. My God. Jesus is Lord. You know, you keep on shouting it. Call upon me in the time of trouble. Is that not so? So don't just sit and say, no, I'm not going to use swear words again. Create your own new swear word. You understand what I'm saying? If they say, how do they say it now? If it's something like, hey, see this plane just crashed. He say, I am the head and not the tail. It's a good swear word. Did you hear that? That car just entered into the river. No weapon. My God, no weapon. Fashion. You know what I'm saying? Learn a new one. I'm serious. Create new ones. You get my point? The Lord is good. What am I trying to emphasize? That's how we train the tongue. There must be something, you understand, positive to do. Let's not focus on the don't do's. It is what to do. Walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Now, we're talking about fear. Let me not forget that. I said to us that fear, you know, prevents us from doing what the will of God. In fact, you know, when I was looking at it, I saw two interesting scriptures just to prove that. If you go and read 1 Kings chapter 17, when Elijah went to the house of the widow of Zarephath, when he said, get me something to drink, the woman said, I'm coming. He said, find small food. May I take, drink the water, you know, that kind of thing. All right? And the woman said, that one no go work. I just have enough to do this and to do that and all of that. I noticed that, how did he respond to her in verse 3? He said, do not fear. Do as you have said, but make a little bread cake from it first and bring it to me. What am I saying? Fear will have prevented her from doing what finally brought her deliverance. So he said to her, do not fear. When God was speaking to Jeremiah, he said, listen, they will try and scare you. I'm paraphrasing now. He said, make sure you are not afraid of them. In fact, God said so much that if you are afraid of them, because what will happen is that if you are afraid of them, you won't talk. You know, these old men now, if you talk now, they will just imprison you with young prophets. If you are afraid of them, you will not fulfill the assignments that I committed into your hands. God now said, for that reason, I will have to disgrace you before them. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm talking about fear. So fear prevents us, and the events of life, what they are trying to do is to bring fear into our lives, and fear prevents us from doing the will of God. Now, so I just give those examples. Okay, another one I just remember, 2 Kings chapter 6, when Elisha, when the mountain was surrounded, And his servant came and said, "Alas, my master, what are we going to do?" And the first thing he said to him was, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now, this is what I want to say. I believe that what he was saying, in effect, is that, listen, if you are afraid, those who are with us will not be able to do anything. Are you getting my point? That is, he didn't say, you will soon discover something. No, he said, look, don't be afraid. I believe very strongly that fear is a very strong force in crippling the power of God that's supposed to work on our side. Now, remember what I said? It's not just in the time of fear. So don't worry. When that time is coming, we'll go reach there, we'll not go fear. Very few people wake up in the morning and say, today, let me go and try some fear. It's when you hear goes and near you, you know whether you go fear or you no go fear. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to explain. All right? It's a natural response. In fact, many of us here know biology to some extent. We talk about adrenaline, the hormone of fear, fight. In fact, the hormone of fright, that's how I said, fright, flight, and fight. So it's height, you know, that fright, that is natural. As soon as something fearful, you know, occurs, it starts pumping. It gets you ready to sprint. It's called the hormone of fright, flight, and fight. Now, I'm not saying it's natural. But how do we, therefore, all right? Because, like I said, God does not command concerning that which is natural. What I mean is this. If it is natural to not be afraid, you know, when they hear God, they talk, say, don't be afraid. He said, I don't say you no go fear. You know, that's what he'll have been saying. So when he says, do not be afraid, you know what that means? It is natural to be afraid. It is a sign of spiritual maturity to overcome the fear. Do you understand the logic there? So when God says, thou shalt not do this, what he's saying, that is a natural thing. That is what the events of life will push you to. When he told them, don't have any other God before me, what he meant is that when you are going around in life and problems are arising, the solution people will give you is other gods. You are getting the logic. Anything God commands about, be sure of one thing, that is not natural. So if he says, don't be afraid, what does that tell you? Fear is the natural thing. In fact, there are few reflexes children are born with. Two of them, we're taught that one in school. The sucking reflex and the fear reflex. Yes, this is how we test it. We're taught how to test it. You hold the baby like this, put the head and the shoulders in one hand and hold him by the butt. Then just drop your hand slightly. There's a child born now. Just born now. It's part of them. Fear. They enter, shout, a loud noise. The child he doesn't know anything, no. But give a loud noise, the child will shake, jump up. It's natural. You are getting what I'm saying? What is that reflex called? That one, the drop. Morose reflex, yes, okay. Because I know I had forgotten it. You see, the point I'm making is this. It's natural. So when God says, do not fear, you see, thou shalt overcome that morose reflex. I know I put it in there. But it's a natural part of you. Alright? You must overcome it. And I keep on saying, I'm just like this does not mean anything. No. You have to find out whether I'm just like this is good. Or I'm just like this is bad. You follow? If it is bad, you overcome it. So fear is natural. Therefore, we must train ourselves in overcoming it. Don't forget our message for today, or at least our exhortation for today. We do, you are going to pray. What do you do therefore? You teach yourself not to fear. How do you teach yourself not to fear? That's another thing. Let's quickly get into that. And that's the way you teach yourself to do many things in life. It says you tame the tongue. It will instruct the body concerning what to do. The duty God gives you and I, therefore, is to use the tongue to instruct the body. That's, remember some time ago, we looked at it here. That's why David will say to my soul, you know, my soul, that is, let us talk. My soul, grab a seat. We need to discuss. So when the soul will come and sit down, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Because the natural thing I said to you is forgetting. The Bible says if we neglect these things, they slip away from us. So naturally, what do? You forget. It's a natural thing. David now said, how do we overcome that? It's simple. Have a conference with your soul. And say, soul, take a chair. And then you sit down opposite your soul. You understand my point? It's a very easy way to get that done. You know, just get a mirror. You'll see your soul on the other side. Once you get in the mirror, your soul goes in the other direction. And you speak to you, say, oh boy, we need to talk. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. This is the instruction of the word of God from this tongue to the soul. Do not forget any of his benefits. What does that do? When you say that, you see, that's why that's why the Bible had to teach us. That's why David spoke those things. This is how you instruct yourself in how to do well in life. You talk to yourself. You don't just wish it. You don't just think it. What do? You give instructions to your soul. Say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And do not forget any of his benefits. If you know you are always late in everything you do in life, if they say submit an assignment today, you submit it late. It's simple. You grab a chair, grab one for your soul, and you know, so you can see your soul, you put a mirror there. That's the only way to see your soul. You understand my point? Then you look at him and say, do your assignment on time, oh my soul. And do not be late in the things you're supposed to do. You get my point? It's instruction. You must instruct yourself. A lot of times, now, this is a mistake we make a lot of times in life. We don't take time at all to instruct ourselves. We talk to everybody else. We talk about everything else, but we don't talk to ourselves. You call your wife. The way you behave in this house, every time I put a cup here, it always leaves that place and goes to the next place. Please leave my cup. You talk to your husband. Husband, I'm telling you, stop doing this. You talk to your children. You even talk to God. You talk to your friends. You're always on the phone. Thank God, phone calls are getting cheaper by the day. Most of the time, we forget to talk to one person we must talk to also. And who is that? Your soul. What do you do with your soul? Listen, this is how you do it. Ah, did you hear that message that this pastor preached today? Did you hear that message that we heard in that tape? Did you see that in the book? Say, oh boy, we need to talk. From now on, listen. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein. What that word, meditate, you know, I think we should rewrite all these modern Bibles to use the proper word. The word meditate does not mean to think. The word meditate means to talk, to mutter to yourself. Are you getting my point? He said, when you want to drum an instruction into the hearts of your children, what do you do? Let's read that one. I always like reading it. It's in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's so beautiful in Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you have the Amplified Bible. If you don't have the Amplified Bible, don't bother opening to it. Just listen to me. Let me talk. Let me read it out to you. Verse 6, Amplified. And these words which I am commanding you this day shall first be in your own minds and hearts. Then you shall wet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate. Listen to this. So, this is how you do it. You shall teach and impress them diligently upon the mind and hearts of your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Now, my emphasis is how to make them sharp. How to, you know, grind the edges. That's what it means to wet. To grind the edge till it becomes very sharp. It's simple. Continue talking about it. So you shall teach them when you sit down. You shall teach them when you stand up. When you lie down. And when it comes to instructing children, listen, use that thing very well. Look, you use every opportunity. He said, don't watch bad things on TV. Praise God. They shouldn't watch bad things. Amen? But if you were to catch them watching bad things, don't just switch it off. Close your eyes. Open your eyes. Look, well, you don't see finishing, right? Let us talk. That's an opportunity for what? Instruction. If you see somebody doing something bad, explain why it is bad. If you see somebody doing something that is good, explain why it is good and why it should be copied. If you did something that is bad, call them and explain to them that which you just completed doing was bad. And the reason why you are talking about it is because it is bad. And you don't want them to copy that one from you. You'll be amazed. They hear a lot. If I told you the joke was, my son, how old was he then? He's 9 now. And this was quite some years ago. It's at least 3 years ago. Yes. About 3 years ago, he was six. One day we finished, we're listening to Way of Success, you know, those days on Cosmo FM. So that particular day, we're listening on the phone, using a phone with the earpiece used as a radio. All right? So he requested to listen. So I don't know whether it was his mother or me giving one ear, one of the earpieces. So he put one in his ear and listened. And as soon as the message finished, Cosmo FM began to play a song. And that song was, I don't know the whole song, but remember it. Nobody can love you the way I do, come into my yori yori, something like yori yori. So the guy was just singing along. The song finished. He laughed. It's your uncle's son. He said, love is not yori yori. You hear what I said? He laughed. It's your uncle's son. He said, love is not yori yori. Who's uncle's son? Their teacher in Sunday school, in church. He heard the song. Nobody can love me the way you do, or I do. Nobody can love somebody, shall you come into my yori yori. The song finished. The boy, I still remember, he started laughing. He said, uncle's son. He said, love is not yori yori. This was a six-year-old. He already knows that love is not yori yori, whatever yori yori means. I said, the Lord is good. This is what I'm making. Listen, it's constant what talking. When you lie down, when you sit down, when you rise up, you continually give that instruction. Now, that's how to make them penetrate into the hearts of the children. But listen, the same principle when it comes to the heart of the adult also. And don't forget, thank you for talking to your husband. Good to talk to your wife. But don't forget to talk to one person, and that is yourself. And I believe that that's where it starts from. In fact, if you read that Deuteronomy chapter 6, you know what he said? He said, first of all, these words that I'm teaching you today shall first be in your heart, in your own hearts and minds. Then you shall make them. That's the way it goes. Go and read that verse 6. These words which I'm commanding you this day shall first be in your own minds and hearts. Then you shall wet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate into the hearts of your children. You get that point? So what do? We instruct ourselves. Let's talk about that fear matter again. It is not the time of fear you say, oh, I will not be afraid. No. Before the time of fear, you know what happens? You have already instructed your body concerning fear. Whether fear is coming or it's not coming, God gives us the day times, I believe, so as to instruct us concerning what we do in the night times. In the night times, there are instructions to take also. I'm bringing an issue here. Before Daniel and co went into Babylon, you know, that's what I started with this evening again. There's not those last moments that will make up our minds what to do or what not to do, what we'll accept or what we'll not accept. If you are going to any field in life, check what the dangers are. You have not entered, but you must know the dangers. And then you instruct yourself concerning what to do and what not to do. So Daniel and co said, boys, we are not defiling ourselves by the things going on in Babylon. The decision was made first. So by the time the king was bringing everything, those things had to come and try and overturn a decision that was made and planted. They were in a better position. They were in a position of advantage. You are getting my point? And that's the way it is. So when there's no crisis, that is when you decide whether you will fear or you will not fear. You are not on a plane now. Amen? Where are you? You are in a Bible class. You are seated on chairs. Nothing is moving. There's no earthquake around here. Praise God. And there will not be any earthquake around here in 1,000 years. Amen? Amen. Please don't say that amen again.
Amen.
So he said everything is at peace. You're not hearing Pastor Banky say, sorry, I think the engine of this pulpit is failing. If the engine of the pulpit fails, what concerns you? What am I saying? There's no cause for fear as to a plane crash right now. That's what I'm trying to explain. But if you just leave it like that, there was a plane crash 9 days ago. All right? And it's still fresh in our minds. Some of you have taken the flight between then and now. You have to move. And I'm not saying because there was a plane crash. I mean, there was one woman that sat beside me on one flight from Abuja to Enugu. You know, I was so sure this was her first flight. I was very certain. Until we're about to launch, and that told me that, that was what happened the other day in Benin. If I didn't die that day, I knew I wouldn't die again. My mind, this is not your first flight. That is, she was so afraid that we were coming from a conference in Abuja. My friend and I were sitting together, also a doctor. So she was the job we did throughout. I feel like, madam, why did you still take this flight? Why don't you just go by road? Because this woman, you could just die one day. Now, what I was trying to say is that, even with all of that, the woman was, in fact, I was so sure that it was her first flight in life. Now, lie. She's a regular flyer. She works for a company and they have to move around. He said, the ones that happened in Benin, if I didn't die that day, I knew I wouldn't die again. That, what happened, that the pilot was about to land, I think, he said there was now a flock of birds that just flew into his path. So the guy suddenly gave the plane full throttle again and went back into the air. She said, that day, if I did not die, I knew I would never die again. The Lord is good. Now, what I'm just trying to explain is that, see, despite all of this, we still get into those situations. We still fly. You know, I finished talking now. Some of you, you don't book tickets for this week that's coming. All right? And because of the things that have been happening over the last few days, when the pilot starts telling you things like, I'm sorry, you know, your heart starts beating. What are you sorry about? What happened? How many engines have gone? That's what I'm saying. Most of the times, that's when we start confessing the word of God. Should I tell you this? It's late at that time. That's not the time that you're supposed to do it. Now that you're not on a flight, that's when you're going to do it. Are you getting my point? When you wake up in the morning, nothing's happening. I mean, no tanker has lost his brakes, full of PMS, rushing towards your house. I mean, you know, this life, let me just tell you by the way again, there's no way that it's safe. You get my point? There's no way. People say, I will never fly again. I said, don't live near anywhere where plane they fly over. Yeah, because this last crash killed 69 people on the ground. 69. You saw those three children that went out to go and buy something. God just removed them from there. Their parents died before they came back. They were living in Fashola's house, the Lagos state governor, until I think they said their uncle has not arrived to pick them up. The parents just said, okay, you just go and buy sweets, I'm coming. Just sent three of them out of the house. By the time they returned, the house was gone. 69 people. You are getting what I'm going to explain? Listen, so we don't know when calamity will threaten. So we don't wait at the time of trouble to start talking. When you wake up in the morning, you instruct your soul, I will not fear. That's what I want to talk about today. We are instructing ourselves because fear cripples. It prevents us from doing the will of God. It prevents the word of God, the power of God, from manifesting in our lives. That's why when God meets somebody and the person is afraid, first thing he says to the fellow is what? Do not fear. Fear not. That is, if you fear too much, I will go away. If you are afraid, I can't send you on an errand. If you are afraid, how will I send you to go and fulfill the work that I gave you, life for? Like he was telling Jeremiah. So you have to instruct Jeremiah, don't be afraid. Are you getting my point? So what do? We take those words. I said God does not command concerning that which will have come to us naturally. Any commandment he gives means that's the opposite of what we will have done naturally. So what do? He said, your words were found and I did eat them. Are you getting my point? So what we do is that we feed ourselves with that word by serving it to our soul. Your soul is going to eat it. You are going to serve it. You get what I'm saying? So you will turn and say to your soul, I will not be afraid. That's what I'm talking about now. You will say to your soul, I will not be afraid. No matter what comes my way, I will not be afraid. If I'm on a plane and the pilot says the last engine just died, I will not be afraid. He said, but what if it's going to crash? And what's your fear going to do about it? What is your fear going to do about it? You are getting my point? At least be able to beat your chest and say, I was not afraid. Yes. It's a matter of fact. But more importantly, you preserve God's power that will have manifested on your behalf if you refuse to be afraid. But don't forget what I said, you know, off and on. I began with it. It's not at that moment. You say, no, I won't be afraid. I won't be afraid. I said I will not be afraid. No. It's before then you will have said to your soul, you will not be afraid no matter what comes your way. It's before then you will have instructed your body concerning all the calamities that people have faced in life. Even though, my soul, listen to this. Even though you are in the midst of an ocean and the boat is capsizing, you will not be afraid. Bless the Lord, O my soul, David was saying, instructing his soul. Said, don't forget any of his benefits. You instruct your soul also, don't forget his testimonies. I have heard of testimonies of people that looked out of the window, you know, of an aircraft and saw angels beside them. Remind yourself of such testimonies. Because of all the crash things, you know, my mother-in-law called me just before she took off on the flight yesterday. I remember the prayer. I said, I said, Mommy, it's well with you. I said, the angels of God will carry your plane and drop it JJ wherever you are going. It's important. Those testimonies, I've heard them before. You are getting my point? Yes. So he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget any of his benefits. In the same manner, I said, listen, my soul, you will not be afraid. Don't forget all the testimonies of his deliverance. You get the point? There are families that were wiped out in this last plane crash. But I just told the story of a family that God said, let's spare these three children. And the parents drove them out of the house for whatever reason. We don't know the details now. But they left the house just in time. They left. By the time they came back, there was no house there anymore. That's a testimony. I told a story testimony then. The other plane crash, that's about 7 years ago. Some people are settled down to take the flight. And some government officials said that they had to go to Port Harcourt. So they arrived and used the government official power. Do you know they emptied the plane? They said, okay, children first. They put those Loyola children inside. Then they put the government officials inside. Then they put the passengers that space could take inside. The young man telling the story was one of the people that there was no space for. Of course, he was angry. What kind of country is this? This is oppression because they're in PDP. I mean, I'm not going to tell the stories. One woman was so angry, she stomped her way right up into the plane and dared anybody to remove her. So they found a place to hide Shuka inside. As I said, in life, no, they do gra-gra for everything. No. I don't want you now. If you're here when I was recording radio, I said the principle of Sabbath, there are things you don't fight for. They take your money, say take it. There are times they don't just bother. Not everything they do gra-gra for. Now so that woman gra-gra just enter the plane. God just used those men to save the lives of some people. This one is a story. I heard the young man narrating it on TV. That I was on that flight. Then they kicked me out and put a PDP official. You get what I'm saying? There are many testimonies. There are many. After that particular flight, one person survived. Not this one, that the 7 years only ago I'm talking about. One person survived. Your Lord is good. So what I'm saying, you say to soul, don't forget his testimonies. Listen, soul, death is not an accident. Until your time comes, you're not going anywhere. That Jesus said, have you ever heard of a prophet perishing outside Jerusalem? I'm removing myself from these people. It's for their sake. Listen, my soul, for that reason you will not be afraid. You will tell yourself, your soul, all kinds of stories of deliverance. I told the story of my one brother that they fired a shot at. Just before that, he warmed up the glass in his car. And the mechanism that carries the glass up and down stayed somewhere beside him. When they examined the car later, the bullet was found right there. I said to you last time that when God does something, when you see his hand, when you see his angels at work, it looks like chance. It looks like chance. So every deliverance by chance that you have seen, it wasn't deliverance by chance. It was deliverance by the power of God manifested in the working of his angels. Do you follow my point? So what do? You speak to your soul. You tell it not to be afraid. Not be advice, not instruction. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. That is, I'm giving you an instruction. So when you wake up in the morning, you must give God thanks. In the same manner you speak to your soul, like it says, why are you so downcast, O my soul? And that's what David said. So what should you do? Put your trust in God. That's an instruction. In the same manner you wake up every morning, instruct your soul. In this life, you will not be downcast. No matter what comes your way, you must not be downcast. If you are depressed, get a seat. Sit down. And say, Mr. Soul, I see you are depressed. Let me give you a few instructions. In fact, I think one of the greatest things, in my opinion, that we live here with today, we have talked with our wives, amen? No, we have talked to our wives, amen?
Most of you can say amen. I don't blame you. Those of you can say amen now.
Amen.
Did I hear any amen that I was not supposed to hear there? All right? We have talked to our friends, amen?
Amen.
Everybody can say that one. But one person we must never forget to talk to is our souls. And I think that's one great instruction we should leave here with today. Let's rise to our feet. Let's talk to our souls. Concerning the matter of fear. If you have your Bibles, quickly open to Psalm 27. I think we should read that one. We'll do that and then we are through for the day. I'm taking this one from Psalm 27 and we are going to speak to our souls. Let me first read it, then we'll begin to talk. He said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense or the strength of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evil doers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell." David said like this, "Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident." Did you notice that? That's an instruction. What is that?
Instruction.
It's an instruction. This is what you say to your soul. Though a host encamp against me, say it loud.
Though a host encamp against me,
my heart will not fear.
My heart will not fear.
Though war arises against me,
in spite of this, I shall be confident.
Please notice, one of the mistakes we've made over time is that we thought this man was just thinking, you know, like, let me just tell you, that kind of person where I be, you know, say, I want to fear. Before something, if you make me, you know, no, that was not what was happening. It was what? An instruction. That is, you say to your soul, even though troubles you come, if I, you know, things you have heard, you know, you've heard of things that say, armed robbers went here, they were raiding from house to house. When you finish hearing it, you talk to your soul. Even though I was in a place and I heard them breaking one door after the other, I will not be afraid. In spite of that, I shall be confident. You're not saying it because that's your normal character. You are saying it because that is your new character. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
That's what we must understand. What we are doing is that we are saying it so that it will become as we are saying. You are giving an instruction to your body. He said, look, you know, say me, I know they take nonsense. Before a man told me, like, I go, don't give her six. Now you know it is wrong. You understand my point? That it should be of a temperate spirit. The Bible says that the one that can control his spirit is better than the one that takes a city. You are getting the point? So for that reason, instead of going and saying, you know, say me, I know they take that kind thing. You will say to yourself, even though they slap me on the right cheek, I shall turn the left. You are getting my point? You know, the first day it will happen that they will literally give you the right, the real one. One person with a grace, one day, God will just send them to you, temptation. Wah! You know, if now before, you don't draw your dagger, you know. Who won't try? You know, that kind of thing. You started. But next you just look at, what was that? You know, as trying to check what was that, you've turned the other one. The guy land the other one again. Said, may the Lord have mercy on you. It's when you reach home. He said, Lord, you mean I didn't kill somebody? Lord, you mean I did not kill somebody? And for information, just by the way, if that happens to you on the road, go home. I'm telling you, what did I say?
Go home.
All right, what am I trying to explain? That is, you find that, look, you're a hot-tempered person. It's not about sitting down trying to hold back the temper. What do? You instruct yourself. Listen, that's the power of the word of God. Are you getting my point? So we're speaking about fear. Everything that may have brought fear into your life, or into that news you have heard, you will instruct your body that this is how you will react. You will not be afraid. In spite of this, you will be confident. Let's declare it again. Say, even though war rises up against me, in spite of that, I will not be afraid.
No matter what may come my way,
my soul, you will not be afraid.
No matter what may come my way, I will not be afraid. In the midst of calamity, I will not be afraid. Inside the sinking boat, I will not be afraid. Walking on water in the midst of waves, I will not be afraid. There is a reason for it to say, for the Lord is with me.
For the Lord is with me.
Say, the angels of the Lord, they encamp around those that fear him and they deliver them. He said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. For that reason, I will not be afraid. You know, while speaking about that, I just remembered, what's his name? Bros, Peter. Who told Peter to come? Who was watching him coming? By whose power was he walking?
Jesus.
Did fear not overcome all of this and make him sink? See why we have to take this serious? Listen. Say it like this. Even if I had to walk out of my job, I would not be afraid. It's important to many people. I remember one man used to call me those days from Newe. I don't know how he got my number, but he used to keep me on the phone. Every day. So anytime he hears me on radio, he knows this is what he's supposed to be doing. But bros, he couldn't do it. All the days we spoke, he did not do it. Why? He had a busy job and a good job. Every day, Pastor Bank comes on air, he says, hey, there I go. That is he. There he goes again. That this is me on air. So why didn't you do something now? He believes that the time is coming. I didn't know. He's the one that used to call me. Because the thing was always burning in him. I don't know what finally happened to him, but I never forgot that. Because the issue was, how do I walk out from here? Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why I say it like that. Say it again. Say, my soul, listen.
My soul, listen.
Even if you have to walk out of your job,
and
you are not even sure what is in front,
you will not be afraid.
Because the God that called you
will never leave you alone.
He's always with you. Now you are talking to your soul. Say, the Lord is always with you. Say, he has prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He has prepared for you a feast of fat things.
You will have an abundance.
You will have abundance in everything that you need.
Therefore, you will not be afraid.
He said, your life, you are talking to your soul now. Say, listen, my soul.
Your life
does not consist in the abundance of things which you possess. Therefore, your hope will not be in material possessions. For that reason, you will not be afraid. If Naira was to lose half of its value, or whatever currency you are spending at that time,
you will not be afraid.
If a bank were to close on your money,
you will not be afraid.
That's what David was saying here, brethren. He said, in spite of this, he said, though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. I'm convinced that one of the reasons why people fail in life is because of fear. You hear what I said? He said, how do you know? Simple. The reason why Peter sank was not because of the will of God. So the will of God, he wasn't so sure whether God wanted him to put the left foot in front. When he came out that time, he should have learned the method of which foot to put first. That was not the issue. Why did you doubt? It was fear. The Bible says he began to fear and he began to sink. That's interesting. Working with God, I have discovered, is almost like an all or none. Once you start, you have to enter the promised land or you're dead in the wilderness. Why did they die in the wilderness? No, be fear. They said, the giants are going to eat you. They said, Moses, we can't enter, we can't enter. Is it because they didn't like what was going on in there? Of course, they understood what the land was flowing with milk and honey. But they heard the story of giants. He said, my soul.
My soul.
You have left Egypt. You have given your life to Christ. You will not perish in the wilderness. You will walk with God into the promised land. Even though you were to see giants in the land, in spite of this, you will not be afraid. Even though the whole, all the giants that ever existed were to queue up against you, you will not be afraid. You will not be afraid of political giants. You will not be afraid of economic giants. You will not be afraid of intellectual giants. No matter what kind of giants there are, you will not be afraid. Said my soul, hear me, hear the word of God. In spite of them, you will be confident. You will be confident of success. You will be confident of victory. In spite of them, you will be confident. No matter the troubles of life that may show up against you, in spite of them, you will be confident. You will be sure of victory. Don't forget this part. Because the Lord is with you to deliver you. Because the Lord is with you to give you victory. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in them. Say, the God that brought you out of Egypt can take you into the promised land. And he will take you into the promised land. The giants will fall because of you. Say, the giants will fall because of you.
You
know what the Bible says? God said that if they gather against you, you know what happened? Because of you, they will fall. Because of you, they will scatter. If they come against you one way, when the Bible says they will flee in seven ways, you know what it means? That means they will flee in every available way. They say seven is the number of perfection. Is that not what we're taught? A spiritual mathematician. I'm not very good with mathematics in spiritual things, all right? But those who do spiritual mathematics, they say it's the number of perfection. What it means, therefore, if they say they will flee in seven ways, it means they will flee in every available way. Some will go through the window, that's one way. Some will go through the roof, that's another way. Some will use the door, that's another way. Some will go underground, that's another way. Yes, there are people who sink. You're going to ask the people who are shouting against Moses. They went one way. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, everything that is arrayed against you, they will scatter because of you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know many multi-billionaires that God wants to make amongst his people. You know why they are not succeeding? Fear. That's why they don't do business. Listen to me. Just hear the word of God. You will do great business. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
You will do turnover in hundreds of millions of dollars. Did I hear amen?
Amen.
And hear ye the word of the Lord. All those who are angry because of your progress, you will watch them, they will collapse. Those who will die, those who will have stroke, so that they will have eyes to see, but no mouth to report. God will give those one stroke. Yet you will be successful,
amen.
You will have victory,
amen.
And every dream you ever dream will come to pass.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Say to your soul now, say, my soul, I hope you hear that. Therefore, no matter what comes your way, no matter what troubles people stir up against you on the path to this vision, in spite of it, you will not be afraid. In spite of it, you will not be afraid. In spite of them all, you will not be afraid. Listen, a time will come. Listen to those of you who this thing concerns, all right? You will have invested hundreds of thousands of man hours and millions of dollars worth of cash. Yet you will see men gather that the only assignment they have in life is to make sure that thing crumbles. Sometimes it's not, they are not even thinking about you. They are making their own policies. But you know if it goes one way, you're out. You understand my point? Wiped out entirely. Hear the word ahead of time. Do not be afraid.
Amen.
That's all I have to say about that. What did I say? Say to your soul, you will not be afraid. Say, you will not be afraid. You are talking to yourself, you will not be afraid. No matter what the bad news is that you will hear, it's only hearing. The Bible says you must hear it. Yes, because that's what he said now. He said, only with your ear will you hear. That's the way it is. So in spite of that, you will not be afraid. You will not be afraid you will not be afraid because of what you heard. The hearing of your ears will not make you afraid. You know what he said? Listen to this. You know, God doesn't only see negative things. I say he sees the positive. The Lord alone, let him be your dread and let him be your fear. You know what it means? Don't be afraid of those who want $3 million bribe to cover something up. Just make sure you did not chop the money. That's what it means. Let the Lord alone. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. That's what he said to Isaiah. You know what it means? Even though nobody is looking, know he is looking. That's what it means. It's not about who will catch you or who will not catch you. Who will be caught or who will not be caught. The issue is, let God alone be your fear. Let him alone be your dread. If it is wrong, don't do it. No matter what the consequences will be. If it is wrong, don't do it. That's what it means to fear God. I told you, all these commandments, they have practical implications. A lot of people, you know how they fear God? God, take your portion. Now, thief with thief, this is your court. That's how a lot of people fear God. They fear the God of tithing more than anything. I'm not telling you a joke. True story. I've heard the story of a girl who she's a professional prostitute. Not the one stand by the road, the one where they hang around Abuja, you know, government house and places like that. And she was counseling her sister. Say, whatever happens, just make sure you pay your tithe. I'm not kidding, no. God sees my heart. I'm not making it up. Some people, that's the only fear they understand. But that's not how to fear God. That's not how to fear God. How do you fear God? If it is wrong, I'm not doing it. This is how I understand what is right. This is what I understand as wrong. And if it is wrong, I have to account to God, and he's always watching. But beyond him, I'm not afraid of anybody. Beyond him, I am not afraid of anybody. Listen, let's say this. Say to your soul, say, my soul, listen.
My soul, listen.
No matter the threats against you,
in spite of them, you will not be afraid.
No matter the evil report you hear that people are planning against you, in spite of them, you will not be afraid. Say, in spite of them, you will not be afraid. Because God has said, I will help you. If you have your Bible, quickly open to Isaiah chapter 41. It's very interesting. Let's just read this one. Like I told you, there's a reason for it. That's the instruction you are giving your soul. Say, don't worry. God is on your side. As you just be mumbling it under your breath there. Say, so don't worry. God is on your side. He has sent men from afar to help you. His angels are under commandment. They have been commanded to help you. You are not alone. Even though you may appear like you are alone, but you are not alone. He said, the people who are on your side are more than those who are against you. You are speaking to your soul. In fact, be doing it right now, not listening to me. So this is why you will not be afraid. This is why you will not be afraid. Your life is not an accident. You were given life for a purpose. You are alive for a purpose. You will live, you will not die. No prophet perishes outside Jerusalem. There's an importance to that statement. When Jesus made it, what it means is that until you get to the place of your appointment, you are not dying. That's what it means. If you are supposed to die having fulfilled the will of God in your generation at the age of 98, forget it. No matter what happens, if you like a drink poison, you will not die. At the age of 98, you will have fulfilled the will of God for your life. Then you will look after seeing your children, your children's children. Then you will die in peace. Yes, that's your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you will not be afraid. Say to your soul, I hope you are hearing this. You will not be afraid, my soul. Listen to verse 11. No, let me start from verse 8. He said, but you, Israel, my servant, and I've told you before, this is for everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Because he has made them into one body by that sacrifice on the cross. He said, but you, Israel, my servant, descendant of Abraham, my friend, I'm jumping lines now. He said, you I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its remotest parts. And I said to you, you are my servant. Say, I am his servant. He has chosen me. And he has not rejected me. You know, God said in verse 10, do not fear, I am with you. Say, soul, listen to this. Do not fear. God is with you. Say it, God is with me. Therefore, my soul will not fear. He said, do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely, I will help you. You may be a businessman. Nobody is giving me money to start my business. Rejoice and be glad. You know, there's a prayer I pray for people all the time. I say, you don't need money to start your business, so may you not find it. People don't like to say amen. But listen, they should say amen, that may nobody give it to you. When Ebony was doing his 50th anniversary, the late man, John Johnson, he said, today I want to thank three people that made it possible for me to be the sole owner of Johnson Publications. He said, because if they had given me the money I asked them for that time, today, now, from this point, I can't remember his exact words. Today, they would have been holding 75%. I would have had 25%. But he approached three of them. He said, I don't want to mention their names. If they had given me the money I asked for, this company would not have been solely owned by me today. By that time, the company was worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And he was the sole owner. And at 50th anniversary, all he had to do was to tell people, thank you for saying no that time. I heard the story of one man of God, great man of God, influential in ministry, having done great work. One day, I think the wife was telling the story. He was telling his wife the story. The one girl he wanted to marry, who refused. The girl said, well, she let me go and tell her thank you. She said to say, you marry my husband, man. Nothing from you. Ah, thank you, Joe. Thank you. But don't say thank you to her. Say thank you to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does two things. He opens the eyes of the blind and blinds the eyes of those that see. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So may I say that nobody is helping me, but hear ye the word of the Lord. He said, I will help you. What did he say? I will help you. He said, surely I will help you. He said, I will strengthen you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know, I love the King James there. Very powerful sounding. He said, the right hand of my righteousness. Are you getting the point? Listen, tell your soul. See, you hear him, so? Say, so I hope you heard that too. God will help you. God will provide your finances. God will provide the connection. God will provide the open doors. God will provide the opportunities. You know what David said? He said, send us help from above, O Lord, for vain is the help of man. You will have help from above in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is why you will not be afraid. I like the way God said it here. Let's continue reading. He said, surely, he said, verse 11, behold, all those who are angered at you will be shamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing, and they will perish. You will seek those who quarrel with you, but will not find them. Those who war with you will be as nothing and non-existent. For I am the Lord your God, who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear. Why? I will help you. Say to your soul, do not fear.
Do not fear.
For God will help you. Say like you believe it, my soul. Do not fear.
Do not fear.
For God will help you.
For God alone is your help.
God will send you help from above.
For vain is the help of man.
Listen, the people that, these are, you know, people that God has sent to help you. You know, in that book, let me close because of time. In that book, should I say yes, I wrote a chapter. And I titled it, Do Not Beg. The Lord is good, though. I'm preaching marriage again. If you ever use please for a woman, just slap yourself.
That here is laughable, but there are words you don't use. I don't have to say you don't use please for your man. If you use please for your man, you should go and kneel down on broken bottle as your penance. But that one is very, that is stupid. I say people that listen, you don't say please. Go and ask my wife there. Did you tell her please? What kind of please is that? See, fine boy like this, they say please. The Lord is good. Now the idea is anybody has to be doing please, 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 for God didn't send that one. That's where I'm going. Whether it's wife or husband or help, boss, servant, whatever it is. Please, 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 for what? Hey. You know, there was a woman that was working in our house once. One day my wife gave her some instructions. She carried her bag, said she did go. You know, those nannies, they think they are seriously needed. They don't know the kind of house where she come. Then my wife overtake her, open the gate. Pass. She walk her down the road small. She said, this woman don't go beg me. Now she beg herself. Now she do about turn, come back. He said, it's just because of the children. I said, children or no children, listen, this house I'm the madam. You will listen to my instructions. And I said, yeah, the woman, why do you open? Yeah, move it. She walk half without this. She said, man, this woman don't go beg. Now you beg yourself, come back. Listen, the help that God sends, they don't need, I beg now. You know, without you, I'm dead. Please help me. Please help me. You're the only hope I have. Anytime you say that one, God will just come out in hand and watch you. Your please in life must be courtesy. You understand my point?
Yeah.
It must be what?
Courtesy.
Just like, come in, please. Sit down, please. You know, thank you, please. Please you, please. You know, it must just be courtesy. It must not be an intense supplication as if man is where your help is. No. He says, send us help from above, for vain is the help of man. You are getting what I'm saying? This is how you know the help that God sent. It will be willing. He said, my people will be willing. I had to say it again. In the days of his power, your people will be willing. You know that word, you know, willing means they will volunteer freely. That's what it means. They will volunteer freely. When the Bible says God will send help, it doesn't mean that all the helps are invisible. He will send human beings to help you. But how you know the ones he sent are those ones that they are not demanding an arm and a leg. Anybody that looks like he will be reminding you 5 years later, you know I helped you that time. The Bible says don't eat his bread. Say, put a knife to your throat when you enter the house of a stingy man. He will tell you on the surface, eat, his heart is not with you. Such people, may God deliver you from them.
Amen.
You don't need that kind of help. Amen. Let me tell you the kind of help that God will send to you. People that will help you, when you tell them thank you later, they are trying to remember. I don't know whether I get the point.
Yes.
I helped you win. Okay, yes, all right. You don't owe them anything. You know why? So that God can collect his thank you complete by himself. That is the kind of help you will have in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's conclude by saying to your soul again, say, soul, I hope you heard that. Your help comes from the Lord. Say, soul, your help comes from the Lord. Say it loud,
my help comes from the Lord.
Who made the heavens and the earth?
He
will not allow my foot to be moved. Say, he who keeps me will not slumber. Let me just read it out correctly. I think I just feel like reading that Psalm. Psalm 121. It said, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to sleep. He who keeps you will not slumber. It said, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, from verse 5, let's shout it loud. It said, the Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my shade.
The Lord is my shade.
On my right hand.
On my right hand.
The sun will not smite me by day. Not
the moon by night.
That is, you won't be exposed. That's what it means. That is, you won't be without a roof over your head. That's what it means. I used to wonder, what does it mean, sun smiting you by day or moon by night? What it means that now weather.
Are you getting my point? When you don't have a house where to sleep at night, it's called moon smiting you by night. Afternoon, you don't have what to do, where to go, where to hide. It's called sun smiting you by day. That is, you will not lack any good thing in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Say to your soul, my soul, you will not lack any good thing in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in. Say it again. The Lord will protect me from all evil.
He will keep my soul.
He will guard my going out.
My flying high.
My riding on boats.
My driving in cars.
On top of a bike.
Or a bicycle.
Or walking by the roadside.
In all of these, the Lord will keep me.
The Lord will guard me from all troubles.
He will guard my children.
He will guard my wife, my husband, my brother, my sister. He will guard everyone that you love in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says, from this time forth and forever.
Amen.
Even though there was a plane crash last week, from this time forth and forever.
Amen.
No matter the trouble you hear of, from this time forth and forever.
Amen.
You will not be afraid.
Amen.
Because the Lord is with you.
Amen.
Just lift your hands and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your wonderful works. Thank you for your mercy. I declare to you that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
Cherub brethren.